we are on. Thank you, Father God, for your presence in the house today. Wow. Thank you for this word that you have given me today, Lord, to minister to your people, that we have a heart to receive that word, ears, spiritual ears in tune to hear that word, and eyes that will see into what you want to bring forth today. Thank you for the anointing that is upon me to minister your word with clarity, precision, and with much wisdom. We thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name, the church said amen.
Amen.
We're going to be reading a few things in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. And we're just going to go through it. Reason I do not want to read it word by word because I don't know how to pronounce a lot of them. Amen. But anyway, we're going to be reading from that. This one, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And they must have been smarter back then or something. I don't know what the problem was. But anyway, there was this king named Jehoshaphat, and there were some enemies that came to wage war against him. So there's some people that came and told the king this, and he said, a vast army is coming against you. And they were saying, they're already here. In other words, they're breathing down your neck. And so alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, proclaimed a fast for all Judah, and all the people came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from every town in Judah to seek him. And then King Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and in the temple of the Lord and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built it in a sanctuary for your name, sand. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague, famine, we'll stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and cry out to you in distress, and you will hear us and save us. And then it goes on to say, let's go on down to verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he began to prophesy. And so he stood before the people. In verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. So they'll be climbing up this particular way, and this is where you're going to find them, and you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so the people began to bow down their face on the ground. They began to worship the Lord because of this word that was given them. And so early in the morning, they left for the desert. They set out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. So he was encouraging them again. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. So after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for his splendor and his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against them, against the enemy who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. And, you know, they just had the word the day before, the battle's not sure it's God's. Amen. And this is what I want you to do. So they began to take care of the situation. And it says in verse 25, Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment, clothing, and all this, and they took all the plunder and began to collect it and bring it back to the camp. Amen for the reading of the word. So I was on my way to work Friday morning, and I was listening to the news, and the news person said, today's going to be a hot, beautiful, sunny day. Just going to be a wonderful day. But there could be a pop-up thunderstorm later this afternoon. The atmosphere, she went on to say, the atmosphere could become unstable and develop a thunderstorm. And she said, I just wanted you to be aware of that as you go through the day. And I thought, that's about like our life sometimes. And the experiences we have pop-up storms that come along in our lives. And like a pop-up thunderstorm on a beautiful summer day, unexpectedly things happen. A day can bring a great blessing, but some days things can happen that can change and alter the course of your life. We're walking in the Word. Our heart is devoted to the Word and to the Lord, to the ways of the Lord, but out of nowhere, a pop-up. And just like that, the news person said it could happen. She said, I want you to be aware of it. So I want you to be aware of it this morning, that we are going to, and we have experienced those things in life. 1 Corinthians tells us in 16:13, remember to stay alert and hold firmly to all that you believe. Be mighty and full of what? Courage. And then in 1 Thessalonians, we are again aware where it says 5:6, so then let us not sleep in spiritual indifference as the rest of the world does, but let us keep wide awake, alert and cautious, and let us be sober, self-controlled, calm, and wise. Then again, we're told in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. So the Bible has a lot to say about preparedness, especially spiritual preparedness. You can get prepared for a lot of things in life. You can have your home prepared for storms. You can be prepared mentally. But the greatest preparation in your life is to be spiritually prepared. Because when you are spiritually prepared, all the other things in life that you need to be prepared for will be much easier, and you'll know how to do it. Amen? Because our spiritual person is the most, is what leads and guides us in this life. And so when we look at the verses, those three verses that we just read, God calls us to be alert, to be on our guard, to be watchful, to be prayerful, which means to be ready for those pop-up storms that come along in our life. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. Amen. Some of us are not going to get out of this world with a few battle scars. Amen. So, you know, at my place of employment, if you work, I'm sure you do, that you have this too. We go through once or twice a year our emergency preparedness plan. And the reason that we go through it is to be ready, because any ordinary day could turn into a day with a situation that needed to be handled in what we had been prepared for. Once the emergency was there, the pop-up was upon us, we will not have time to run and find the emergency manual to figure out what we needed to do if someone came on the property or the building with a gun. We should already know. So that's why the Word tells us, don't sleep. Be aware that you do have an enemy. And I don't mean go looking for him, because he's going to find you anyway. So we're not saying go look behind every door and every crack and corner for him. Amen. But he is going to find you. Amen. And he's going to throw those fiery darts at you. And there are sometimes we are going to be hit. But God. Amen. But God. And Ephesians, so why should we be prepared, spiritually prepared? Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So that's why we are supposed to be spiritually prepared. We don't struggle with flesh and blood. Amen. 2 Corinthians goes on to tell us in 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Amen. So that's why the battle is not ours, it's God's. We are to be obedient. We are to trust. Amen. And sometimes just be still. For as Christians, we've been given a manual on what to do in life and how we live in abundance and how we overcome. This is our emergency preparedness book, and it's called the Word of God. It's called the Scripture. Amen. So since our warfare is not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12, therefore carnal, weakly, worldly weapons will not do when we are trying to overcome or a pop-up storm happens to come into our life. The things that we touch, taste, see, and smell are not going to work in those situations. So we have weapons that are God-empowered, mighty through Him, and we've got to believe that. We've got to believe that the Word of God is the truth. Amen. So we have to be spiritually prepared by knowing what the manual is given to us to say. And so when that midnight hour comes, there may not be time for you to get on Google to find out where the scriptures are or what the Word may have to say about a situation. There may be not time for you to call somebody. But when you are spiritually prepared and that situation happens, there is something that rises up within you and that begins to pray and begins to intercede. Why? Because you have took time to be prepared for that situation, whatever it may be. So it is the first go-to manual. Amen. It is the first go-to manual that you go to be spiritually prepared in life and get instructed on how to live life and what to do. So now we're going to go into the story that we just read in 2 Chronicles, the story of the man named Jehoshaphat who encountered a pop-up problem in an ordinary day and was able to praise his way to victory. So 2 Chronicles read, he encountered this big problem. The people said, a great multitude of the enemy is readying themselves for battle against you and your people. And at first, he didn't see a solution. You know, we don't have to see the solution to the problem. All we've got to know that the battle is not ours and it's God, and we trust that he's got the solution. And he will guide us step by step and give us just enough light for the step that we're on, and that's all we need. It's to be faithful to take each step. That's called trust. Amen. So at first he didn't see a solution. He did not have time to find the self-help manual. So what did he do? You know, you talk about Jehoshaphat. He followed in the ways of David, his father. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. He was serving God, doing what he knew to do. But still the enemy came and was getting ready to throw a fiery dart at him and his people. So he got the word, a great multitude was coming against him. And they were breathing, they were heading already on his side, headed straight for him and his people, breathing down his neck, so to speak. And it says, Jehoshaphat didn't turn to the Lord after he tried everything else. The very first thing he did when trouble came was to seek the Lord. He can come boldly, and we can come boldly to the God's throne of mercy, just as Jehoshaphat did, according to Hebrews chapter 4, 14 and 16. Come boldly into the throne room of grace to find help in your time of need. So Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. Now, fast is not going to be changing God. Fast is so you can get a clear head to hear what God's saying. Fast is saying, God, I need to hear you, and I'm willing to give this up in order that I may get a clear mind to hear you. So he began to seek the Lord. And Judah, they gathered themselves together. Sometimes you have to pull in the tribe of your people together and say, hey, folks, we need to pray about this. We need to seek the Lord about this. We need to get some unity on this. We need to get some agreement on this situation. And so the word tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, very plain, call to me, the Lord says. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. He said, you may have to walk through that situation, but you already know the end of it, you win. You already know the end of it, you win. So at this time, Judah was in captivity, a situation hopeless and impossible. Yet God extends the invitation to his people, call to me. Let me know what you need. You may say, well, God already knows what I need. He wants you to call to him. He wants you to enlist his aid and to list his assistance into the situation. You know, you don't know what to do in that situation, but I do, so call to me. It could be between you and the miracle you need is all that is needed for you to cry out to God. I don't know what to do, but I know that you do, God. And when I set myself to fast, amen, and to pray and to seek you, you're going to show me. You're going to show me what I need to do. Psalm says 50:15, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you, and you'll glorify me. So I encourage you to study the manual, get to know the manual, develop a relationship with the author of the manual. You know, relationship is just being able to relate to someone. Amen. So he wants you to have fellowship with him, not just on the days the storms pop up. Amen. So it's much easier to ask the aid of someone after you have known them than it is to call up a complete stranger and say, hey, I need help. Amen. So once you begin to know someone personally, it's much easier to pick up the phone and say, hey, this is going on. Could I do this or I need that? Amen. That's the same way with it with God. God should not be a stranger to us. Amen. So when you know someone, not just about them, but begin to learn his character and who he is, the author of the book, the manual that we have to live by and to be directed by him. God is saying to us today, you do what you can do, call on me, and I will do the great and mighty things. So here we have the enemy coming against Jehoshaphat and his people. He gathered the people together and began to seek the Lord. And then he stood in the midst of the congregation and he began to pray. And he began to remind God of who he was and what he had done before. And when we're in that situation, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done before. And we can look at other people's lives and see what he has done for them. And that encourages us that if God brought me through that storm, then he's going to bring me through this one, no matter what it is. So he began in his prayer, he began to remind God of who he was and what he had done before. That one day we encounter a dead trouble, look at what he has already done for you. Remind yourself of who God is and who you are to him. So when you encounter a problem, it's helpful to look back over your shoulders and see what God did for you in the past. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He did not have you to abandon you. His name is I Am. It's not I Was. Amen. God's name is I Am, not I Was. So if you've seen him work in your life in the past, you can believe at this particular time that he is also working on your behalf, and he's able to bring something good out of every circumstance in your life. And you never know when that storm is just going to be a springboard to the next phase of your life, to the next season of your life, because we go through different seasons. Amen. So, and then we go ahead and read, and Jehoshaphat began to pour out to the Lord at what the enemy was trying to do to take away the possessions God had given them. And that is why the enemy is coming against you at this particular time in your life. He's trying to take you out of the possessions, the promises that God says are yours. And if he can get you to believe in that, you know, then you're not going to be able to receive what it is that you need, because you think that you're not worthy. When trouble comes, you're to copy what Jehoshaphat did. Look back at your past. See how God brought you this far. And then, as Pastor Laverne has taught us and told us over and over again, find a promise in the Word of God and stand on it. Find a promise in the Word of God and stand on it. So they admitted, the people didn't care to admit that they didn't have the strength or the resources or knowledge to overcome the enemy. Sometimes we are stubborn. Amen. Sometimes we are stubborn and we want to handle it on our own. And we'll try to do everything. It's like people coming to you and saying, I don't know what else to do but pray. And you're like, please pray. That would be a good idea. Please pray. Amen. So we go in here and say, they called out to God. And we see that God intervened. So we don't have no power against these enemies. We don't know what to do. But he says, our eyes upon you. And it's okay. It's not self-defeat. It's not anything against you if you say, God, I don't know what to do. But I know that you do. And that is where my strength is coming from. Thus saith the Lord to them, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. The devil is good at magnifying things. He is good at putting a magnifying glass on something and making it appear much bigger and much worse than what it is. And when you're in that situation and you begin to have to make decisions and begin to figure out what to do, you just say, you know, is it really going to matter this time tomorrow? Because this time tomorrow, God could come through on your behalf. Amen. It's what am I going through right now? Is it really going to matter tomorrow? Amen. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon a brother in the congregation. He began to prophesy to the people what the Lord would do. He said, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And 17 said, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. Position yourself. The enemy wants to come and tell you that you've been knocked out of your position. But God has already told us in his word that you've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus at his right hand. You are seated in heavenly places with him. And you know, the enemy wants to say, well, if God was really who he said he was, if you were really been faithful, if you were really doing this or that, you would be going through what you're going through. You're going through what you're going through because you have been faithful. Because you have been devoted to seek the ways of God. Because you have been trustworthy, amen, and faithful. So verse 17 says, you don't have to fight in these battles. Stand still. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Standing still doesn't necessarily not mean doing nothing. You are still to be trusting. You are still to be confessing what the word says. But standing still is not taking things into your own hands and trying to work it out yourself. And we're good. We're good with that, aren't we? Wanting to figure out how it's going to be done and when it's going to be done and who it's going to be done and where it's coming from. But he says to you today, stand still. Stand still and see my salvation. Stand still and see my deliverance. And then it goes on in 17, it says, all of Judah, look to God. That's what we need to do. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I don't care what everybody else around you is doing, making crazy decisions or whatever, whether it's in your family or anybody else, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Do not be wavered. Amen. He said, he answered, and all Judah looked to God, and he answered with a promise of victory. He already told them what the outcome was going to be. Before they ever got there, did that mean they were just to give up and say, well, the battle's not God's, so I'm going to sit here, I'm not going to do nothing. The battle's God, I'm just going to stay home for church, I'm just going to quit giving because God, no, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to keep you out of the house of the Lord from your brothers and sisters. He wants to keep you away from when the word is preached. Amen. So he already answered them with the promise of victory. So it's great when the Holy Spirit of God takes a promise from the word and it begins to make it real to you. And the more that we praise God and the more we can get into his word, the more the victory is magnified. The more that we can see ourselves as overcomers, the more that we can see ourselves as who God says we are. And you know, you have to resolve in you your identity in Christ. Because if you never get past the point of who you are and whose you are and why you are, there's so many victories that you're going to lose because of that. But once you know who you are in your daddy God, you are a force to be reckoned with when it comes to the enemy and the storms in life. Because you know who you are and who you belong to. And he has not left you, nor forsaken you, nor abandoned you, nor will he ever, ever, ever will. Amen. That's good news. That is good news. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And God tells us that this battle is his. He's telling them, my victory and yours does not depend on your abilities. It's also not our responsibility. It is our response to God's ability, which is his greatest ability. When you think it's all about you and what you can do to get it, you've already lost it. Amen. But it's about him. Amen. His victory. So I remember one time in a situation, a long time ago, I couldn't do anything about it. It was going to happen no matter what I did. And I knew it was going to. It was just going to happen. And I felt led by the Spirit to step back. Just step back. And I said, okay, I'm going to step back. And I just heard God say, well, God, it's going to be, and I said rather, well, it's God, it's going to be interesting to see how you're going to work this out. And he said, surely it's not me. It may be interesting to you, but not for me, for I know what I'm going to already do about it. So whoever's in that situation this morning, step back. Step back. Get out of God's way. We are the biggest hindrance to our victory. Amen. We are the biggest hindrance to what God is wanting to do. And he's saying to somebody today, take your hands off of it and let me do what I already know. What I'm already going to do in the situation. Amen. Step back and let me do it. Woo! So it may be interesting to you, but it's not to him, because he's already gone before you. Amen. So all you need is call to me, he says. Believe me. Get out of my way. Stand in faith, for the battle is not yours. When we choose to allow God to do the battle, it brings us into a place of rest. Because when we are trying to battle, when we've got our hands on something and trying to work it out and to assure our own victory, we get our heart troubled. Amen. The Pastor Vern told us, let not your heart be troubled. Yeah. Amen. And so when we are taking it, when we're putting our hands on things, when God says, take them off, leave it alone, let me do what I know to do, you trust, you believe, you be obedient. If we choose not to, we grow weary. That's when our hearts get troubled. That's when we get down and discouraged. Amen. Let it go, church. Let it go. Yeah. Whew, my goodness. Yeah. So when we choose to allow God to do the battle, and it brings us into a place of rest. And there is a rest now for the people of God. Amen. We're in a relationship with a supernatural God that still does supernatural miracles. This time tomorrow, it could all change. That's right. Just that one phone call, just that one door of the mailbox open. Yep. It could change. Yes. Amen. Yes. So that has a supernatural, he has a supernatural answer to your dilemma. He operates in a realm beyond our knowledge. That's why he said, call to me and I'll answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. So if we're going to get an answer to our day of emergency, we have to get beyond to seeing what we're seeing in the natural. Because as long as we're operating in the natural, we're trying to take control of the situation, amen, and use natural means to gain a supernatural victory. Amen. And so we're going down here to read at 18 and 19. Before the battle even began, Jehoshaphat offered praises to God for the already victory, even though he didn't see it. So many times we want to get in the battle to get get to work without as much as a thought to worship God for the blessings and the victories that he's bringing. So there's nothing more important, church, that we stay in an attitude of worship when that pop-up storm of life comes. The man who kneels before God, the person that kneels before God and makes himself humble before him, amen, is a person that will begin to see the victories of God in their lives. So what we see in the natural realm is only temporary. And then we go on to see verse 20 and 25. And so we read that where Jehoshaphat called the worshipers, and he sent them out before the battle. He sent them out. Praise paves the way to victory. Because like I said before, when we get to praise, it magnifies the solution. It magnifies who God is. It magnifies the word. So when we attack problems God's ways, we're going to enjoy the provisions that he brings. Because there are some things that we birth in the flesh. And what we birth in the flesh has to be sustained by the flesh. And it will wear you out. It will cause you to be discouraged. But when we take our hands off of situations and things and allow it to be birthed by the Spirit of God, it will be a lasting thing that will bring much fruit. And we will enjoy the provision, and we will enjoy the times that we rest in God and not be weary and discouraged. So the battle was won. They gathered all the silver, gold, and jewels. And the same thing is going to happen for you. So when the attacks of the enemy come, praise God, you're going to find that the devil becomes God's messenger boy to bring you riches. Go into the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from us. Amen. 2024, God is ready to remove on your path. He will not do one solitary thing until you begin to praise him. You begin to get out of the way and let him be God. And I don't know what situation you're facing this morning, what you're facing with your kids, your job, or whatever, but I feel so strongly to tell somebody today, you need to get out of the way. You need to try to quit being God in the situation and let God be God. It may not work out how you thought it was going to. It may not even work out how you agree with. But if it is God, it will work out. Amen. So it's a call of a call on God. And what a difference a day can make. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. I believe in suddenlies. And just as there's pop-up thunderstorms, I believe there's pop-up blessings too. Amen. Pop-up blessings. Anybody ready for a pop-up blessing?
Amen.
We believe in suddenlies, Father God. We believe that in a moment of time, you can turn situations around. We believe in miracles. We believe in the supernatural power of you, God. We believe that you still heal, that you still save, and you still deliver. We believe in the miracles, Lord, that's written in your word to be true. And we believe, Father, we just take our hands off of those things that we're so wanting to control and just say, you be God in that situation. I may not understand how you're going to work it out, when. may not even agree with you, God, but I just choose to believe that you're God. And your word is true. And I've heard the Lord say, the day of your trouble is turning to a day of great joy. Your day of tears is turning into a day of gladness. And he's telling somebody to hang up your hanky. For the tears you have shed over that situation, you'll no longer have to grieve for it. For I'm turning around and you will see my salvation. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I just see someone purchasing a box of Kleenexes. God says you're not going to have to purchase it because he says you're not going to need it because your tears are over.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Even in the upcoming days, I hear suddenlies. The things that you've given on up, even since the first of the year, that you really thought you heard God say this. And we had the word that God's goodness is going to be coming in a mighty way of seeing God's goodness. And you say, well, I haven't seen any of it. God says, no, you haven't. But the year is not over yet in your calendar period.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The things that you've given up on in this year that's not happened. Some have forgotten about some things you were believing God for and cried out to me in the past days of this year. He says that I have not forgotten those prayers. And I have not forgotten the things that I've spoken to you. And I have not forgotten the things that you have asked of me. God says you're going to walk into them. Don't count yourself out. For I have already counted you in. And you are mine. And I'm not going to let you go. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this word today, Lord, that we're taking our hands off of situations and things, Lord, that we can't control. But we release, Lord, you today to intervene, to show us how to let it go, Lord, to learn to rest in you. And even though we may have those pop-up things that come along in our lives, Lord, that's unexpected, that can change and ordinary day into something that alters situations in our lives completely. but we still choose to trust you in the midst of it all, because you are a good, 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 good Father. And we rest in your word today, Lord, no matter what anybody else is doing around us, no matter what they're saying in the political arena or anything else, we choose to trust what your word says, that this is the manual that you've given us for life while we're here on this earth, Lord. This is our go-to first manual. Hallelujah. And this is not just good advice. Your word is not just good advice, but it literally holds the key to life and death while we're here on this earth, because it's your words that we speak that are effective, Lord. And when we speak those words, you said it's not going to return to you void, but it's going to accomplish its purpose. It's going to literally change the atmosphere in which we live in every day. Father, I speak your blessings over these people today. I speak to you that you're favored of God, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are blessed to be a blessing. And I speak the suddenness of life to come upon you, even in this week. I speak rest to you, to the one that is having trouble falling asleep at night. I speak that your sleep is going to be beautiful. There's going to be rest in your sleep. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.